I learn quite a lot from people on your show, especially from watching them, you know.
Yes.
It's a funny thing that you get a big advantage, you know, by coming on, you know, being on here, and then coming back to Earth and watching people, and you can see deep down inside them. It's very illuminating, I tell you.
Yes, I'm sure. And you can see the aura all the time, can't you? You know quite what we are.
Oh, yes, I can see all right. I have some disappointments and shocks and all.
Yes, I expect so.
Anyway, you're not so bad.
Good. It has been rather uphill work lately. You know, the path's been rather stony and the style's a bit steep, but I understand that's all part of one's evolution, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is, but you've always got to remember the higher you climb, the more difficult it becomes.
Oh, dear.
And if ever you reach the top, you've got to be careful you don't slide down the other side.
Oh, Nicky. Oh, Bob. I mean, I was hoping for a rest when I came to your side. It seems to me...
Well, you probably will have a rest.
It'll be jolly hard work, don't you?
No, not necessarily.
No, I don't know.
You'll be all right once you get here, you're cool. Once you've settled in, mate, you'll be so full of interest, everything going on around you, you want to be in and out, know everything. You'll be happy, you have no aches and pains, no sort of feeling lethargic, nothing like that, you know.
No.
You'll feel real yourself.
Oh, how
good, you know, as you was when you was a girl.
Oh, how lovely.
Run around like a 2-year-old, you will, mate.
Oh, good.
And with your artistic appreciation, it'll mean more to you than a lot.
Yes, well, then I've learned such a lot from you that
well,
I know what it's going to be like.
Anyway, this one with the baby in your frock, I expect you want to speak to your husband.
Oh, Mickey. Wasn't he wonderful?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, darling. Thank you for coming.
Quite frankly. So much that he says that I don't doubt if I can do it as well. You know, really, he's extraordinary. In his own idiom, in his own way, he puts it over extremely well.
He does, yes, he's marvelous.
Frankly, he amazes me, because really, although he comes and speaks in this Cockney dialect, if it is, he gets things through which are quite remarkable.
Yes.
He's an amazing character altogether.
He is.
How are you?
Yes, you're wonderful too, darling.
Well,
do you know that wonderful spellbinder you gave me last time? I pressed the wrong button and it didn't record, darling. And it was all about the marvels of space, you know. The wonderful civilizations in space. We used to think the old Earth was unique, you see.
Well,
and could you, I suppose you couldn't repeat the performance, could you?
The whole point is that when one is on Earth, one is so immersed in material things that one only considers things on a material level or basis. Very few people assume that there is anything else that really matters to them. Life on Earth is the vital, important thing. It's the only thing they know, of course, and therefore it's the be all and end all and everything. But, of course, I now realize only too well that the material life, important though it is in itself infinitesimal in space and in time, because the Earth isn't the only world as such. There are many worlds floating in space, much greater, much bigger than the Earth, much more advanced souls. They're living in spheres which in themselves are so much more progressed. This assumption, because the Earth is the only world that one is concerned about or considers, is stupid, because there are lives, there are peoples, there are worlds that have been going on in time itself, if one can put it in that sense, for untold centuries upon centuries, billions upon billions of years. And you see, the Earth world's way of life is totally unlike and totally different because, well, these other worlds are in themselves so independent, and yet at the same time there is a consciousness among the peoples there so much more spiritually and psychically advanced. Their knowledge is tremendous. You see, the point is that we mustn't think that because we are anything known on Earth. And these peoples are very concerned, for instance, on certain planets, with the peoples of Earth, and have indeed been trying to make contact. Now, these peoples are not in themselves necessarily physically, if I can use the term, in appearance identically the same. It's true that the vast majority on certain spheres do have, to all outward appearances, shape and form similar to what we know of Earth. And many of them are in themselves very like material earthly beings, but there are other conditions of life on certain planets where the shape and the form is different, and I couldn't even begin to describe that.
How interesting. I think I understood you to say that we would be in touch with Venus first, didn't you?
Possibly. I think that's more than possible. I think that there are various reasons to support that, the various things which I don't know from, that is, from a scientific point of view, but I do know from what I've heard that the possibility of contact or communication or even landing, religious peoples of Earth landing on various planets, Venus would be the most likely. And of course people have this idea, which has been built up over a long time among scientists on your side and also people who no doubt have been endeavouring to make contact with the various planets, that certain planets are not only uninhabited, but it would be impossible to land on them, and that they're desolate, and that they're in some instances even burning hot, or in some cases ice cold, and so on. Point is that it's true to a point. There are certain planets where there is obviously no life, but there are quite a number of other planets, even planets which have not been named in the solar system by man, but not even been seen, for instance, and not even been registered by telescope or in any other way. There are, you see, the point is that the Earth world is one of untold thousands upon thousands of other worlds. And that is the immensity of space that one thinks about and cannot fully grasp. And also, this of course also brings in eternity. Eternity in itself seems something that impossible, one cannot grasp. The idea of going on and on and on and on, life never, never ceasing. But of course, when you realize the vastness of space, and it's so vast that you cannot put any confines to it, and that in this space are untold numbers of worlds, and on these different planets, untold numbers of spirits and souls are living. Some, of course, are souls who once lived on Earth and are now living in an entirely different state of being. Indeed, you might say, which is perfectly true, that we have come to you from different spheres or different conditions of life. We are living on various planets. But you see, you don't look upon, even when people talk about, on your side, that is, about our world, that is, even when they understand or know it, don't think of us as being in the sort of atmosphere or solar system, that we are on planets or spheres. And sometimes now, of course, science has progressed to some extent that certain planets can be seen. I think there are some tremendous shocks coming for generations yet to come, when communication will become more factual, more real, and of course it will be possible to make a direct contact. And there's no doubt that we shall be into communication between the Earth and your world, and who knows, although it sounds terribly far-fetched, but I can assure you it could well come to pass, when people on your side will make regular trips to different planets and even spend what you would term holidays there. I know this sounds crazy, but I think it's got to come. It will come. And I think that in space itself, there will be stations erected whereby there will be possible communication in a direct form. For instance, we shan't have to use mediums to speak. We should be able to use what man has created, and often also later on, of course, with the help of souls on this side, mechanical devices that will make communication a factual thing in a scientific way, that there will never be any doubt or hesitation about the reality of life after death. And I think that all this will open up such fields of experience and knowledge that man himself will change accordingly, and the world, the Earth world, will become so small in the sense that it will be too. The world will become even smaller still when it can communicate with outer space and communicate with various worlds and spheres and so on. All this has got to come.
Yes, I think it's going to be very exciting. Very. But you, I suppose, are evolving with the Earth, aren't you? You're not on another planet. You're in one of the spiritual spheres surrounding our own Earth. Is that true?
Yes, that's true, but it's very difficult to explain, because if one could, in some strange way, if there was a method or a way in which I could explain this more correctly, if I could say that the Earth were a center and radiating all round it varying degrees of life or varying degrees of sensitivity, I suppose, in a sense, because if one is sensitive to a certain condition, one is part of it. And then there may be radiations or conditions of life further out in space that one may not even be conscious of. But as you evolve yourself, you begin to enter into that consciousness and you become part of that too. It's very difficult to see. You cannot sort of geographically explain this. There is no way. I mean, it's like you on Earth. At night you can see the stars, but the distance between you and the star is so vast that you cannot have any comprehension of it as a world. And yet that world of the star exists, and often on that star are personalities or peoples and mentalities, call them what you like, life anyway. And the point is that it's only as you yourself begin to open up your consciousness and enter into the new condition or environment that once was far removed from you. In regard to Earth, of course, you go through a material life and you go through the phase called death, and you are then elevated spiritually, because your spiritual body in itself is a different context and it isn't the same as matter. In other words, it can travel through the ether and it can enter into a conscious state of being in a certain environment to which it is best adjusted. And then, of course, in that life, you become conscious of the possibilities of it, and also you can learn, too, that you can leave that environment and go down to lower spheres and enter, if you want to, again, even only temporarily, of course, the Earth again, and if necessary, if it's find a suitable instrument, of course, I can meet and you can communicate. And the whole point is that when man realizes that it isn't the physical, you see, it's always, man's always on about the physical. It isn't the physical that's the reality. The physical, in a sense, is only the reflection of something much more important, much more definite, much more alive, much more vibrant, much more, you might say, important in as much that it is something that's indestructible. The Earth world and the Earth body is only the reflection of a greater mentality and a greater spiritual force and awareness, although it may be limited and sometimes held back by the foolishness and evilness of men. But the point is this, that man is much more than he seems. It is the spirit that is the important factor. It is the spirit that is the animating force. And when it's released from the material confine of the body and the confines of the Earth, it can enter into a much higher rate of being and a much higher state of evolution. And the vibration is such that it's so much far more advanced and so much faster that it is then unseen, unknown, you might say, to the material eye. It's like the Earth. The Earth is revolving in space, and it's because it's revolving at such a speed and man is revolving with it in harmony that he doesn't fall off it, is it? Because man is aware also of vibration. You see, whether man wants to realize it or not, it doesn't alter the fact that all Earth, all life is vibration. Vibration is the very essence of being. Without it, there could be no existence, there could be no life. Whether it is on our sphere or in your sphere, it's all a matter of vibratory rate, vibration. And because it is vibrating at a lower rate than ours, you are not conscious of our presence. It's only when we are able to transmit ourselves by thought force in such a way that we can lower our vibration to enter into your consciousness that you become aware of us. But it is all fundamentally vibration. All life is vibration.
Yes. And then, of course, when you are seen, all people say is they say they've seen a ghost.
Yes, well, it's not so. There's no such thing as a ghost, really.
Yeah.
all vibration.
Yes.
There's nothing in your world that is solid or real. It seems so because you're vibrating in harmony with it.
Yes.
A chair looks solid, but it isn't solid all the time, it's vibrating.
Mm-hmm.
Not a thing in your world is what it seems. It's all made up of vibration.
And you can walk through our walls, can you?
Because we're on a different rate of vibration.
Yes.
We can therefore enter, as it were, through a closed door.
Yes.
Because the vibration of the door is different to the vibration of our body. We are much more sensitized and more vital, much more of a higher vibrational rate. The lower vibration of your world and the material things of your world have no effect upon us.
Well, that's wonderful, darling.
What is important is the mental aspect, the psychic and the spiritual aspect.
Yes.
When people start to think deeply and realize the implication of mental and spiritual evolution and the possibility of what can be achieved while yet on Earth, the Earth world is merely a training ground, it's a ground of experience necessary, but nevertheless, people just don't understand or appreciate its possibilities. Great things could be accomplished in your world that would benefit the whole human race. Certain things have transpired, certain things have happened. But man often, more often than not, is purely concerned with materialism. Whereas if he were to concentrate a little more on having some balance in his makeup, individually and collectively, and think not only of the material, but also the spiritual, in the right sense. In other words, if man lived by balanced realization of life, in other words, if he lived his life in a more balanced way, gave everything its proper place and adjusted his mind accordingly, the whole of the world could be changed. There could be much more happiness, much more peace and tranquility.
Yes.
But all we ever see in your world is disturbance, violence, unhappiness, illness of all kinds. All this is brought about by disharmony, by the fact that man hasn't realized the potentiality that he possesses, and he concentrates completely and absolutely on material things. And yet all the time he's concentrating on those things, he knows that they are in themselves something which eventually he must leave. Nothing is real in as much that it can be held on to. Man should by now have adjusted himself to giving, as it were, justice to the things which are necessary and important, but at the same time appreciating that behind all that seems vital and important on earth is the greatest spiritual implication and significance. To me, it's the tragedy of man that he lives solely by, you might say, the flesh, and not by the spirit.
Yes.
It's a terrible thing, because if there were balance, if man gave, as it were, well, as Christ said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God, there's much more in that than people even think. They assume quite often something quite different that was intended. Indeed, many of the remarks of Jesus were, in a sense, riddles that only men of deep inner realization could really understand fully. Some of these things seem simple, and yet there's a great deal of truth, a great deal of inner meaning, which is not always seen. I'm sure that Christ was referring not only to what was generally accepted, and giving unto Caesar the material things, unto God, the things that are God, there's a deeper significance in there. It isn't just Caesar, it isn't just God. It's the realization that you have a material life, a material body, a material potentiality, yes. But the fundamental driving force behind all life is the spirit. Give spirit its true understanding. In other words, appreciate what it can do and what it can achieve. As Christ said, by faith you remove mountains, but it's the faith of the Spirit that accomplishes these things. If you have faith in the Spirit, it can overcome all things, make all things possible. It is the very life force behind all life, and it can make possible all things, even to the raising of the so-called dead like Lazarus. And you see, the body is merely the temple, it's merely the vehicle of expression. If one realizes what lies deeper, and what is the reality behind the material, then all things are possible. You can overcome and do and achieve so much.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me the tragedy that man hasn't appreciated and understood his real potentiality, his real power, which is fundamentally of the spirit and therefore indestructible.
What a pity you can't take a pulpit, dear. You would draw tremendous crowds.
Well, I don't know about
people
that.
People would really be interested, wouldn't they, Mr. Flynn?
I'm sure they would.
I mean,
anyway,
you
I
don't
do what I can. I hope the tapes will have some help.
Yes,
some
thank
help
you.
Here and there.
Yes.
nice talk to you. You'll come again soon.
Yes, thank you, darling. Give my love to Mum and all of them.
All my love and bless you. And don't worry. Now I'm with you. Helping you in every way I can.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, my dear. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Nicky.
Good day, won't he?
Yes, I'm
very
sure.
Good.
And so are you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Nicky's on 4.